Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cuck My Life podcast. Thank you for joining us. This is where we talk everything cuckold, real stories, real guests, and real cucks. I'm the Aussie Cuck, and I'm joined by my good friends, Hubs and Hopeful. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about something that's dear to me and close to me, which is possibly the evolution of cuckolding, which is polyamory. And if one leads to the other, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. We're going to pull it apart today. Check it out.
You're going to be like, you're going to fuck this guy, you're going to fuck that. No, you don't get to decide.
Understanding yourself will help you deal with your feelings of jealousy.
If she falls in love with that with someone else, that means she's fallen out of love with me. And that is just simply not the case.
Accepting her for how she wants to do this. It has caused friction for us.
It was electric, this feeling, seeing what was going on. Also, it was terrifying.
This is not going to be done my way. It's going to be done the way she wants it. And ultimately, that's what I want.
I pulled up the handbrake. In my gut, in my chest, I was getting this, I could feel this pressure.
No man should ever think that his needs don't matter. They matter.
Being a group of cuckold gentlemen, I am now in the situation where I am in a poly relationship, or I'm part of a polycule, if you would like. So we thought we would dive into that as a subject. And because it is something that can happen, it's something that if you get into a cuckold relationship, your wife may actually want to be in a more serious relationship with her bull and possibly become boyfriend, girlfriend, etc. So we thought we would pull that apart a little bit. Hopefully I can provide some insight. Hopeful?
I love it. I believe that talking about relationship dynamic is extremely important, because as if you want to be in part of this lifestyle, what you have to understand is that the most important thing is that you're not in control. You're not in control. You certainly are allowed to have a voice, but you are not in control. And you can ask your partner to do this, but you cannot tell her how. She's not a plaything. She's not a toy. She is going to have her own feelings and opinions on it. And if she's the kind of woman who can and will do this, and not every woman can, you are going to have to accept her choices in a way that I'm not 100% sure you understand yet.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, I think it's, I would say to people that there will be a fear aspect that if you get into this, what if she finds someone that she ends up falling in love with? And then by that rationale, there's that thought that, well, she only has enough love for one person in her life. And if she falls in love with that someone else, that means she's fallen out of love with me. And that is just simply not the case. Love is not a finite resource. When you have one child, you give them all of your love. When you have a second child, you don't split it in half. Right? Love is the way that it is, and you can love people. But time is a finite resource. And it is something, as Hopeful says, that you as the cuck would have to come to understand that maybe she is going to spend quite a bit of her pleasure time with someone else. And whether or not that is in a relationship or that she's just in a very casual relationship, it's something that may happen. Now, you may think that you need to be there all the time, but as busy lives are, it's probably likely at some point she's going to be there on her own and you're going to be at home looking after the kids, looking after the dogs, whatever it happens to be. She's going to spend some of her pleasure time with someone else. And dealing with that and understanding that is part of being a cuckold.
That's right. And you know, the other thing that I think is important to recognize for our audience is if you're listening to this and you're saying to yourself, well, you know, we're not interested. My wife and I are not going towards a polyamorous relationship, but there are elements of that same type of dynamic that you're going to find as a cuckold and pursuing even just a straight, pure cuckolding relationship with your wife, you're going to find some of those elements. And, you know, it gets into some deep areas which you can explore, and I would encourage people to, such as attachment theory, you know, finding out more about yourself and how you relate to people in your life and your world. But understanding yourself will help you deal with your feelings of jealousy. It will help you avoid some of the pitfalls of this dynamic by sort of getting that under control and coming to a better understanding of both yourself and your dynamic between you and your wife. So I would encourage those of you who are on the fence right now to stick around and listen to this conversation, because you may find something here that, even though you're not necessarily polyamorous or plan to be, that's going to be very valuable to your dynamic.
I think it's very important to understand that if you, and there are a lot of different ways to do this, and I'm not telling anybody how to do it, but if you're a cuckold, and I think all three of us are, that's who we are. My partner has not slept with anybody for a while, and I've had the conversation with her several times where I've told her it's irrelevant what she does or she does not do. I am who I am, right? This is who I am, and it's been a struggle for me. The biggest, most complicated step to get over in this relationship for me has been accepting her for how she wants to do this. And it has caused friction for us. And I have begun a process of change to try and be a better cuckold so that I can understand, so that I can support her regardless of what she does. Not just when she's doing what I want her to do, not just when she's participating in the things that I, when, but to be supportive of her as a human being. And this is much more than just a sexual lifestyle. This is much more than just Saturday night for most of us. This is a relationship dynamic that is very complicated. It takes patience, communication, and a deep understanding of yourself. It takes introspection.
Absolutely.
Understand who you are so that you can be supportive of her. And if you're the kind of person who wants to control her, if you're going to be like, you're going to fuck this guy, you're going to fuck that. No, you don't get to decide. And that's been a big thing for me to understand. I don't get to decide.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, like you say, I mean, a lot of people's dynamics are different. And I understand that there's kind of a dom sub type relationships, and that, you know, sometimes the man, whilst may be a cuck, is more on that stag side, and he actually organizes, and she likes him doing, you know, organizing and coordinating those things, but that doesn't mean that you're not shielded from things changing, and that from her you know, her mind changing, and her, the person that she meets could really change her perspective on how she feels about the relationship. And I think it's I think as well. And I'm definitely guilty of this. We are definitely guilty of this. And it's for a very good reason. And what I'm talking about is, I think when people first get into the lifestyle or first think about it, we go, right, so there's rules. We're going to set some rules. And the reason why we set rules is because we want to make sure that in our circle of our life existence, we can fence off a part, and that's where we're going to play in. And those rules make up that fence. And the point is that when you start there, you say, right, okay, so when you first meet the guy, I'm always going to be there, or I'm going to be the guy that, you know, I'm going to vet the guys, and then you're going to do, you know, we all have these little rules that we sort of put in place to begin with. You know, maybe you won't sleep with them on the first date. Maybe it's the sort of thing where, you know, we can't host and they can't come to our place. We'll only go to their place. You know, we all have these sorts of rules that we just build up to sort of, I think, shield what it is that we're prepared to expose to this. And what I've learned is, Everyone does that. And I think everyone is going to do that. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. The point of it is, though, is that you've got to look at each one of those rules and understand why they are there. And if it is there for safety and for her safety, 100% those rules are important, right? If you need to know where she is because she's seeing a man that she doesn't know that well, yeah, that's a good rule that you keep in contact or that you know exactly where she is or the address or whatever. I don't think that's unreasonable. But there are other rules that it could just be because it's your own insecurities as a couple that you're just like, I need to know these things. Well, I actually don't think you do. She doesn't have to text you pictures. She doesn't have to send, you know, emails and images and videos, and doesn't have to do those things. I know that that's what you feel you need to be satisfied in the situation, but you don't need those things. There don't need to be rules in place for that stuff. So rules have a tendency to slip away as you go through the lifestyle. Hopefully you and Tatiana had an actual contract or something which was, you know, documented, which I thought was a really interesting dynamic. Maybe you can explore that a little bit more.
Sure. When we first got into this, I wrote a contract. These are expectations. This is what I'm okay with. This is what I'm not okay with. And she told me at the time, now this was 4 years ago, she told me at the time, I don't need a contract, but if you do, I understand. Right. And when we kind of dropped out of the lifestyle for a lot of different reasons, health, relations, dynamic, work stress, we were focusing on other things for a little while. And about 6 months ago, we started getting back into who we really are. And when we came back to it, we don't have a contract anymore. It's not necessary. What I realized more than anything else was the contract that I wrote up. And I'm not opposed to them. I think that there's some reasonable use of that. But for me, that was my insecurity. That was me trying to control the dynamic
situation
in a way that it's not my responsibility to control, right? This is not a rigid lifestyle, right? It is so important that you respect your partner and their choices, and you have to be supportive. So I agree with you 100%, Aussie. There are certain things that are about safety, like perhaps that first meet with a new man, you might want to be there. We get vibes from guys that women don't. They get guys that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's unreasonable in that situation, but that's for safety. If you're just there to make sure, I had one of our roommates, one of the guys in our little corner, reach out to me literally this morning. They just recently found they've been looking for a long time. They just recently found somebody who she's interested in, and he was all excited about it. And as that little relationship has progressed between the bull and his partner, he is getting more and more insecure. The bull's not paying enough attention to him. It's all about her, and he's nervous about it. And those are very reasonable feelings. But he wants to, or he's thinking about blowing it up because of that dynamic. He's looked for this for over a year, trying to find that right person. She finally finds him, and he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm not being dismissive of this human. He's having his emotional reaction. But when he talked to me, what I reminded him, and thank God, like, I'm grateful that he came to me and wanted to talk it out. What I told him is, you gotta chill, man. You gotta relax. If you're really uncomfortable, he says, well, should I approach him and talk to him about it? I said, no, you should talk to her. She's in charge. Mm-hmm. You have to talk to her. And if she's already on board with you, if you're uncomfortable, you'll blow it up. That's fine. But if you don't want to blow it up, she has to approach him and say, this is making my partner uncomfortable, and we have to have a conversation about how we can progress in a way that works for all three of us. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But realistically, he's waited for this for a long time. She's now happy, and he's like, wait, this is a complicated lifestyle, and sometimes you have to accept things that make you uncomfortable. That's part of this.
That's right.
What about you, Hubs? Did you guys have any of those sort of rules or that sort of thing to begin with? Like, how did you step off?
Yeah, we absolutely did. And as you said, I mean, people wouldn't, when you're starting out, it's not uncommon for you to want to protect certain aspects of your life and relationship. And you think by creating these rules, that's going to accomplish that goal. I had to laugh to myself, hopeful, when you were talking a minute ago about, you know, how those things tend to start going out the window. And also when you said that the rules kind of drop away over time, I created a meme with a sexy pic of Sarah that sort of established where we were after we had been through all that. It was a nice picture of her, and it said, we have a deal. I fuck who I want when I want. That's the deal. and after all the rules and all the, you know, sort of the gamesmanship that we have been through, that is really where we've landed. And we're sort of evolving in the direction of a power dynamic between the two of us, where she's really coming into her power and she's in charge, which is absolutely glorious from my perspective. And I just hope that she begins to enjoy it as much as I do when we dip our toe in. But I was sharing with the guys earlier, Oz, the first time I ran up against jealousy, you know, and it comes into play as a result of feeling like our rules were being bent or stretched. She finally found a guy that she really clicked with. And rather than welcoming that relationship that I thought I wanted for her with open arms, I found myself pushing back and I found myself reacting. And instead of seeing this guy as an answer to what we'd been looking for, everything he did, I saw as wrong. He was presumptuous. He was tactless. He was interruptive of our life. And he was, you know, asking too much and getting in the way. And he invited her to go away for an extended weekend. And I just kind of caved. I mean, I lost it at that point. It was like I was making up excuses why probably it wasn't a good time, and you know, and this and that. And long story short, Sarah looked at me and said, "Okay, look, this was your idea. Let's don't forget that. And you got me interested. You got me into it. You can't give this to me and then take it away."
Amen.
Mm.
And amen. I mean, yeah. Boy, was that a wake-up call for me. And of course, I knew immediately she was right. And from that moment on, we've begun to evolve in the direction that we have, where, you know, I realized that this is not going to be done my way, according to my fantasies that I've piled up over the years of how it should be. It's going to be done the way she wants it. And ultimately, that's what I want to.
Pubs, that is a really important realization. And I know, for example, that one of my biggest fears has been that she has more free time than I do. Her job allows her more time off than I get. And one of my big fears is that she'll travel with somebody else. That makes me uncomfortable. But I am adjusting my perspective and realizing that she has to do this however it makes her comfortable. And it is not up to me to control her. If I'm controlling her, then I'm not being the supportive cuck that I want to be. So I have to let that stuff go. And it is, right. Fortunately, I haven't been presented with it yet. When it happens, I'm sure I'll be uncomfortable. But realistically, I love her. She loves me. She could go away for a week with a man with a giant penis. She's still going to want to come back here and live in my home with us and our life and sit on our deck while we have a cocktail and drink and smoke cigars and talk about what happened. It is,
right.
There is, I am not threatened by these other men as much as I used to be.
It would be interesting, because I touched on the jealousy aspect of things and how that kind of was the thing that started to push my buttons, because I, even though I kind of expected it, I didn't really expect it and was shocked when it came on scene the way it did. But I'm thinking, you know, for the benefit of the folks listening who maybe have come up against that, whether or not they're seeking a polyamorous relationship, I think I'm sure Aussie has come up against that. And I would love to hear how he and Eve overcame that.
Well, Aussie's dynamic is fascinating. 100%.
The dynamic with us, and I have to say right here and right now, so if we didn't meet Mr. T, and Mr. T is Eve's boyfriend, he was the second guy that we met. So when we decided to do this, and we started up a profile, and that was the sort of soft intro, really. It was like, let's just start up a profile on a website that promotes this style of lifestyle, or that accommodates for this sort of lifestyle. And she met this sort of first guy who was really, I suppose, that sort of first experience with meeting the first guy. And he was cool, young, sort of fit. She found him really attractive. She realized that she, you know, was pining for this guy, and she hadn't felt that in forever. She, you know, her really whole upbringing was like, you don't step outside of the marriage. This isn't what you do. It's not really the sort of thing that you're allowed to do. And, you know, she hasn't even thought about it, I don't think, not that much. But when this guy came along, you know, it all seemed really cool. He ended up to be a bit of a fizzer. He was really into himself. He wasn't really that interested in pleasuring her to an extent that she really wanted. And so, flick, he was gone. But the very next guy that we met was Mr. T. And, you know, he was a guy that was really attentive and was really interested in her and found her really attractive. But it was not just that. And it wasn't that he was just captivating from a sexual perspective. He was just dead set interested in her life and what she had to say, and cared about the sort of things that were going on. And that, as I, you know, would know, that's what she wants. She is attracted to someone that is interested in her and what she does and how she does it and her life, and says good night and good morning and how's your day and those sorts of things. And it's not just like, here's a new dick pic. You know, that's not how these things sort of work. So look, and for me, this was difficult, right? Because this was really early on, right? And their relationship sort of started and it got together. And, you know, I realized that there was clearly a spark here. You know, there was something going on where it was the way that they were looking at each other, the way that they were intimate and that sort of stuff. It was like, yeah, this is incredible. I mean, it's incredible to watch as a cuckold as well. And I can tell you that the difference between your wife having sex with, let's call it, a porn star who's there to perform, who's there to do the sexual act, compared to someone who she is connecting with on an intimate, personable life way, is chalk and cheese. It was electric, this feeling, seeing what was going on. But also,
it's varsity level. You're
it was terrifying at the same time. So, and this was one of those things that I came to realize as well, which I, you know, when I say came to realize, I always knew. Before me, she'd been with one guy and she was in a long-term relationship, and we've been together for over 20 years and we're in our early 40s. So what she needs and what her relationship style is connected. It has to have connectivity. She didn't do hookups. She didn't have, like, you know, guys in college that she just hooked up with at parties. Like, that's not her. She needs connection, and she was forming a connection with Mr. T. And at some point, you know, I think maybe a couple of months into it, I pulled up the handbrake. I was in my gut, in my chest, I could feel this pressure that I couldn't comprehend it because I didn't have the foresight to think earlier that this sort of thing could happen. And, you know, I sort of said, you know, you two both need to consider it, like where this relationship is going and how serious it is actually getting and whether or not like this is where you want it to go. And, you know, she was upset that I wanted to pull up the handbrake and that, you know, I was sort of saying these things and whatnot, but it just felt like, you know, and there was the new relationship energy. She was just on the roller coaster and loving it and was not even considering that the roller coaster would come to an end at some point. That was nothing. It would go on forever, and she was sailing high. And I was, you know, conflicted. I was loving it, and you know, he's really hung and incredible in terms of resilience, and you know, he has like no refractory period. You know, just you know, a real performer, and. I loved it for that, but at the same time, you know, there was that pit in the bottom of my stomach that was like, this is turning into something that I can't control. And it took a lot of communication, a lot of talk, and I had to reach inside and decide that it was something that I was going to be okay with, and that I know that she loves me, and I could go and detonate the whole thing, and it would be 10 times worse, 1,000 times worse if I did that.
You guys can't see this, but as Aussie talks, both Hubs and I are leaning into our cameras and nodding. When Aussie says, and this is so important, I had to realize I can't control it. It is such a huge step for a cuck to realize that you can't control this. This relationship style is uncontrollable. Like any sexual emotional relationship, it's more than one person. It's not how you want it. You have to be able to communicate and compromise, and you have to know yourself. Aussie, I think your story is amazing. I am so honored to have this view into your world. You're an amazing human.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
And you know what, guys? You know, the other thing that comes to my mind is, and I have recent experience to corroborate this, is that when you get to the other side of your issues, of your shit that you've got to work through, it can be incredible. You know, whereas before, as I described, I was nervous, I was upset, I was pushing back and finding every excuse for that guy that I was sharing about. Sarah just went and spent the night over last weekend with a guy that she has that same relationship energy with, and we call him her boyfriend because that's just how they relate to one another.
An accurate description.
And I was joyful, and I'm not bullshitting you. I mean, that I was absolutely joyful that she got to have that experience. You know, it's not easy. We have a helicopter kid that lives with us. He's not a kid anymore, and working around that is always problematic. So he's unaware of our activities. So we have to make sure that's covered for. But all the hassle, all the shit to make it happen, I was over the top, happy for her, and just living that happiness alongside her.
I remember talking to you, Hubs, when she was out. You were literally joyful, right? This is the word that comes up a lot, and I don't think we've mentioned it yet, is compersion, which is kind of jealousy's stepsister, right? It's instead of being angry or frustrated or worried, you're happy for your partner who is having a positive experience. This is, if you cannot convert your angst into happiness for your partner, then you probably can't do this.
That's right.
But it doesn't mean that if you can't do it right now, like if you can't do it the first time, but you have to be able to see enjoying that for yourself if you want to really pursue this lifestyle.
Yeah, that's a good upside. And look, that's, you know, the compersion side of things is really interesting because it's again about jealousy, and compersion is about feelings within yourself, within you, but your feelings directly have that have an effect on the other person. So compersion and jealousy is not necessarily about exactly what you're feeling. If you're feeling jealous, you're going to make that person who's feeling great feel like shit because you're projecting. Now, the thing is that it's the compersion side is self-replicating. If you feel good about it and you tell them about how great it makes you feel, that is just going to make them feel even better about it and more free. And then that is going to make you feel better about it. It is one of those things that if you've got someone that's feeling great and then you get all jealous and project onto them, you're ruining it for them and for you. And if you can't see past that and see how amazing the compersion side is, this isn't for you.
100%. And just, Aussie, let me just check in with you for 1 second, okay?
Yeah.
Where's Eve right now?
Yeah, she's at Mr. T's house.
She's having a great time, right? And you're
I'm so good. And so look, you know what? I have to admit, it's not as if I don't want her in the house or any of that sort of stuff. But you know what? I get to do this stuff with you guys, and like I kind of have accepted, and I enjoy a little bit of the space, and having a little bit of space between us is wonderful, because that she comes home and she's riding on, you know, a cloud of air, and her hair will look spectacular. She'll just waltz in, and you know, I'll have everything sorted, and we'll come back to, you know, we'll reconnect, and it is seriously the best thing ever. So yeah, look, that's where we're at right now. But one thing I have to say, we still have a rule. And when I say we, I still have a rule. And that rule is that we don't play at our house where our children are. We have young children, right? And my line is that, I'm not going to expose them to that accidentally, nearabouts, whatever it happens to be, until we are ready to have the discussion when we want to have it with them, when they're at an age or a maturity where we feel like they can handle it. I'm not going to have them just discover, you know, mummy fucking someone else. And you know what? She tries to push it, and she I know that she will. I think it's not great that she tries to do that, but she will try. She tries to push it because she doesn't see the problem. But I do. I have that. That is a rule. So you know what? Rules can still be one of those things that you can still keep.
Oh, 100%. You are allowed to have boundaries. We're all allowed to have boundaries. There's no question about it. But you have to be clear in your communication about what your boundaries are. And in your case, Osh, you are trying to protect your children. And let's be clear, children should never have to think about their mom fucking anyone. That's a fact. That rule is in place to protect somebody else, not to protect you.
That's right. Right? That's right. And that's the way I see it.
I love this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great conversation because I think, you know what, we've covered so much, and it wasn't my intent to basically just go into the whole rules thing, but that's kind of where it's ended up because that's how things progress.
Of course. It's about negotiation, and none of us would ever tell anybody, no man should ever think that his needs don't matter. They matter, but you have to negotiate with your partner in a fair and reasonable way, and you have to think about what are your needs and what are your fears? Because your fears, if you let your fear dominate this, it will go away. It won't work.
Right, exactly. And you know what? Our wives love us. We wouldn't be able to do this if that were not true. And so when you talk about our needs and our fears, they're not cavalier about that. They, you know, and that's why it's important that maintain that open and honest conversation. They may be unaware, but they're certainly not uncaring. And
communication.
Absolutely.
I think we've discussed some ways about how people have come into this relationship before, right? And about, you know, how they get to it and how the man would sort of ask that question. And there is another way, which is infidelity. When there's been infidelity has happened, my feeling with that is that this relationship that we all live is solely surrounded. The absolute concrete foundation of what we do is trust. And to me, you absolutely cannot, in my opinion, start this relationship off from a foundation of infidelity, because that is broken trust.
You have to be able to trust your partner. And I believe for real that there are some people who come to it through that means, and they're able to work that stuff out, and no judgment on it. This is the point,
if the infidelity happened because this was something that she wanted, she could not do it. She had a fantasy about this sort of stuff. Sure, you can work through that, understand that's what it is, build up the trust, come back to one another and build on it from there, and recognize her fantasy and then move into the. I don't think that in the case she cheated on him and then she wanted to keep seeing the guy. Yeah, that isn't a foundation of trust. That's like, yeah, so, you know, if we're going to keep this going, we're just going to just gloss over that. Yeah, no, I don't think so. And
if you drag this as an angry cock, there's just, you're not, like, that's just, there's no future. There's no future. This is a lifestyle about communication and trust and partnership. And we all agree you have to let your partner be who she is. But she also has to respect you and who you are. And that comes with communication, and that comes with communicating your fears, your jealousies, and your feelings about situations. And you, Aussie, I know, have been amazing about that.
Yeah, I've really tried. Look, it would, like, sometimes say that I, you know, over vocalize. I can bring her down sometimes, where, you know, it's gotten to me, and I spew out some emotional stuff that's probably not the right time for it. You know, she's riding on air, and then I, you know, maybe bring it down. And that, you know what, it's been a couple of years. I try not to do that. I recognize, I understand, and if I have those sorts of things, it's not that I bottle them up. It's that I recognize that there's a time and a place, and I support her, and we try and work through it. You know, we are all, us three, still learning. We're all still probably going to face a situation where we weren't expecting it. We have to overcome. We have to think. We have to talk. We have to communicate. We have to, you know, look inside ourselves and wonder why that is something that we've got a problem with. And
right, there's no one path for any relationship to take. You are going to this. I think that the theme of this whole episode is evolution. We are all going to evolve. If you are able to get into this lifestyle, if your partner's willing to go into it with you, you are going to have to evolve to meet her needs, and she's going to have to evolve to meet yours and hers and his.
Yeah, that's 100%. And I think, look, I'm sure there is plenty of people that have dipped their toe, had a crack at this, and just went, yeah, you know what? No, this is not for us. That's fine too. Yep, that's absolutely fine too.
This is absolutely not for everybody.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I'm just going to say before we wrap this up.
Yeah.
If you want to be in this lifestyle, and all three of us, I think, kneel in front of our women, right? All three of us are submissive to our women. You can't do this and be weak. You have to be a very strong person, and you have to be confident in who you are. And you have to be able to process your masculinity in a different way. And that's it's high level thinking. It's very intellectual.
Well said.
Yeah, that's totally well said. And you know what? That I think that right there is a good place to leave it, because that is another topic that we should definitely cover. 100%.
And is tune in next time.
Week. Tune in next time.
Next time.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. It was a really excellent conversation, and I think there's even more to explore on that subject, which I think we will at some other time. If you've got any comments on today's episode or any other of our episodes, please reach out to us on Twitter or via email. All of those details are in the show notes. From the whole panel here at Cuck My Life, take care. We'll see you next time.